Locked On Red Sox, your daily Boston Red Sox podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, happy Wednesday to you, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Red Sox podcast. I'm your host, Jason Mastrodonato. Been covering the Red Sox for 11 years in Boston, now the lead columnist at the Boston Herald. And usually my co-host, Lauren Campbell from Nesson. One of us is always doing this pod. Sometimes we do it together, breaking down the latest news with the Red Sox and trying to, you know, provide some of our own insight as to what we're seeing and what's going on, talk about the biggest storylines of the day. So thanks so much for joining us on today, Wednesday, September 22nd. Today's show, I want to talk a lot about Eduardo Rodriguez because he had possibly his second-to-last start in a Red Sox uniform at Fenway Park on Tuesday night. And it kind of was a microcosm of his entire career here. And with free agency looming for him, with the postseason around the corner, what does it mean for him? What have we seen from him? Is this a guy who's going to play an important role in the postseason if they make it? Is he a guy that's going to earn himself a contract? Is he going to stay in Boston? What's next for him, and what has he shown us? So I want to spend a lot of time talking about Eduardo Rodriguez today. I think he's one of the most interesting guys on this roster, considering his contract status and all the potential that he had and what we've seen, what we haven't seen. So that's going to be the focus of today's show. Eduardo Rodriguez, we'll get into some other stuff with Jose Iglesias, what's going on at second base, talk a little bit about playoff roster if the Red Sox do make the playoffs. So stick around for the entire show. Thanks so much for joining us. We're brought to you by Spotify Green Room. If you are looking to interact with other sports fans, check out Spotify Green Room. It's a good place to do that. So Eduardo Rodriguez on Tuesday night, I'll just start with the stat line in case you didn't watch. If you did watch, here's a reminder of what he did. He went 4 1/3 innings. He gave up 2 runs. He gave up 5 hits, 3 walks, and struck out 5. The Red Sox won the game 6-3. They beat the Mets. I thought the Mets gave the Red Sox this game. I thought they could have put the Red Sox away in the fourth inning when they loaded the bases against E-Rod. Nobody out. They score 2. And then Pete Alonso is lazy running from second to third on a single. And the third base coach, Gary DeSarcina, who used to be a coach in the Red Sox organization, sent Alonso home inexplicably. Like, it was not even close that he should not have been doing that. Kike Hernandez already had the ball. And as we know, outfielders play pretty shallow at Fenway Park, especially in left center because of the wall. So most teams aren't running home from second on a single to left or center field. Most teams don't do that. The Yankees decide to do that. They send Alonso. He's out by a mile. Give E-Rod a free out. He gets out of the inning, only gives up 2 runs. But he was still struggling. You know, there's a reason why he only went 4 1/3 innings. He threw 92 pitches. He couldn't put guys away. He walked 3 batters. He's walking more guys this year. He gave up 5 hits. I mean, it's actually one of the better walk rates of his career this year. It's more of lately that they haven't liked the way he's not attacking the strike zone. Alex Cora said after the game he thought the biggest problem with E-Rod is that he's just not throwing strikes. But if you look at him, he's throwing 65% strikes this year. That's above average. His walk rate of 2.6 per 9 is the best of his career. So I don't think throwing strikes is necessarily the problem with E-Rod. I think it's more about the stuff and the rust from missing the entire season with myocarditis. So there's a lot to try to unpack and understand with Eduardo Rodriguez. And I guess we'll just start at the beginning. I mean, this was a guy who came over from the Orioles, but one of Ben Sherrington's, I thought, best trades. When Andrew Miller was kind of just starting to get into his prime as a reliever, the Red Sox discovered gold. One of Bobby Valentine's few good moves is figuring out that Andrew Miller is a pretty dang good reliever and not a very good starting pitcher, as we knew through his first 6 years in the big leagues. You know, Dave Dombrowski drafted him, and this was a guy who was supposed to be elite, you know, 6th overall pick, Andrew Miller. And all of a sudden, Bobby Valentine figures out he's a reliever. He has a great year for the Red Sox in 2013. They win the World Series. 2014, they're terrible. They trade everybody at the deadline. And I thought the best move Sherrington made at the deadline was trading Andrew Miller to Baltimore for Eduardo Rodriguez. Now, we all wondered at the time, why are they getting a top-notch starting pitcher for Andrew Miller, who, yes, is a good reliever, but remember, was about to hit free agency. What kind of team is trading an elite starting pitching prospect for a half season of a reliever? And this was, you know, 2014, so this was when the Royals were getting good with their bullpen, where bullpen was starting to get prioritized a little bit, if you remember back then. So the Red Sox kind of stole Erod, but I remember at the time there were some whispers about Erod. You know, how did they get this guy for a rental? And, you know, people talked about his work ethic. Is he a guy that has a work ethic to treat his body right, to have a long career? Is he a guy that can stay focused? Is he a guy that will learn how to pitch and not just, you know, he had the amazing changeup that is the reason why he was a prospect. And at the time, he was a lefty throwing 97, 98 miles an hour. And you're thinking, you know, this guy could be elite. This guy could be really elite. And when Dave Dombrowski came into the organization, remember, the Red Sox didn't have an ace. And Dombrowski looked at Rodriguez and said, he looks like an ace. You know, there was that opening press conference, Dombrowski's first day with the Red Sox, and he said, Rodriguez is top of the rotation stuff. And it's not like that was a secret. I mean, people thought this about him. You get a lefty throwing high 90s with a wipeout changeup, you know, you're feeling pretty good. I mean, he didn't, you know, he threw a cutter too. The slider came later in his career. It's now kind of looking like a decent pitch, but he's really a fastball changeup guy. And he came to Boston, and his first year in Boston, when he got traded over from AA, he had a 0.96 ERA in 40 innings, just dominated in AA. The next year, he's in Pawtucket most of the season. No, he was only in Pawtucket for 8 starts. 2.98 ERA. So this was a guy who was kicking butt in the minors and was starting to get noticed. He came up to the Red Sox in 2015, made his debut, won 10 games and 21 starts. Looked good. And there were just kind of like these constant questions. Like, yeah, he looks good, but why isn't he better? He should be better. And, you know, he was up and down in 2016 a little bit. There were some knee injuries that kind of plagued him throughout his Red Sox career. It was always one thing or another with Erod, that even though he would show flashes of looking like a possible future ace of an elite starting pitcher, it just never happened. It never happened. And even in, you know, if you want to argue his best year was 2019 because he made every start, which I would say is probably true. He also led the league in walks that year with 75 walks and 203 innings. He didn't win that 20th game. Remember down the stretch, they were trying to get him opportunities to win games. He won 19. It was still pretty great. Finished sixth in Cy Young voting. It was a great season. It was a great season. Not enough to carry them. You know, the 19 Red Sox were underachievers for sure. Only won 84 games. But that was the year you think, okay, you know, this kid's 26. Now he's learning how to take care of his body. He finally made every start. He didn't get hurt this year. That was his goal. Maybe he'll come back and kind of up his game a little bit. Well, I mean, you know, it's not his fault. He got COVID last summer, came down with myocarditis, which is seems to be pretty rare. But it is a side effect of COVID. However rare it is a side effect of COVID. And now they're checking every, especially athletes, with COVID, constantly monitoring the heart and making sure that they don't come down with it. It has proven to be a pretty rare disease. However, it is a side effect of COVID, and Erod got it. He couldn't get out of bed for months. He had to stay in bed. He couldn't risk his heart rate getting up. He just had to rest. And so you wonder what kind of effect that has on somebody. And, you know, this whole pandemic has changed all of us. There's no question about it. But you also have to consider the body. And with Erod specifically, the heart. And what did that do to him? Because he came back, and the weird thing was, when he came back in the beginning of the season this year, he looked great. His first four or five starts, six starts, you're like, wow, how's he doing this? This guy missed the entire season. His April was fantastic. He went five or six innings every time out. He never gave up more than three runs. He was striking guys out. He wasn't walking anybody. He had a great April, and you're thinking, he's back. Wow, I thought he was going to be rusty. I really thought he was going to be super rusty. But he looked great in April, and since then it's been a disaster. It's really been a disaster, and I have some theories why. And I want to talk about what this means going forward for the rest of the season and the future with Eduardo Rodriguez. And how much money is he going to make, and is it worth it? Should the Red Sox be paying him? So that's all coming up in our second segment. Stick around for that. We are brought to you by Spotify Green Room. It is the first social audio platform made for sports fans. It's free to download. Once you're in, you can talk with fans, athletes, and insiders in real time about the Red Sox, Patriots, Celtics, Bruins, whatever sport it is that you enjoy talking about. You can do that in real time with other fans of your team. It's the perfect place to join the conversation. You'll find fans just like you on Green Room for watch parties, debates, post-game breakdowns, and reacting to big news or rumors. You can even find a lot of the Locked On hosts on the Spotify Green Room app. So download it today. You can get it anywhere you download apps. The Green Room app, currently available on all iOS devices. Download it today. We are also brought to you by BetOnline.ag. BetOnline is back and better than ever. A lot of eyes on the football season, but don't forget there's still 2 weeks of baseball left and playoffs. So gambling is not for everybody, but if you're into it, BetOnline is the number one source for everything football. They will give you a 100% welcome bonus if you are looking to add money, create a BetOnline account. They will double your initial deposit up to $100. So just for signing up, if you're going to do some betting, do it at betonline.ag and use the promo code LOCKEDON. They're going to match your deposit, and then you can get right in there. There's some big bonuses. There's some promos going on right now over there. You can bet on anything. It's betonline.ag, your fastest and easiest way to bet on your favorite sports, betonline.ag. So Rodriguez, ever since April ended, the Red Sox have somehow gone 14-11 in his starts, but he just hasn't been very good, averaging five innings a start. He's allowed 15 homers in 25 games, not bad, but he's got a 5.24 ERA, a .289 batting average against, an 800 OPS against. He's getting hit is the bottom line. He's getting hit, and even his great outings, there always seems to be something that goes wrong. An inning that just isn't right. You know, he's had three or four really good outings this year that where that doesn't happen. But he just hasn't been the guy. Obviously, Nathan Eovaldi's been the guy in this team all year. But Eduardo Rodriguez just hasn't. And I think I know. I mean, my theory is that the changeup is just not nearly as effective as it used to be because his fastball isn't as good as it used to be. His fastball velocity is down. He's kind of living around 92 miles an hour now. When he first came into the league, you know, Xander Bogaerts said it on Tuesday night. I mean, Bogaerts and Erod are boys. Like, they're really close. You know, they do everything together in the locker room. They're always playing FIFA together. They're busting each other's chops. They're buddies. And Bogaerts doesn't want Eddie to leave. You know, he wants the Red Sox to re-sign him. He said that on Tuesday night. But he also said, you know, I remember when he first came into the league and he's throwing 97, 98 miles an hour. And we're thinking, man, this guy's going to be incredible. And what happened? You know, his fastball velocity has just steadily decreased ever since then. And listen, they certainly made an effort to keep him healthy, to teach him how to make 34 starts. You're not going to have your best stuff every night. That's just the way baseball goes. But his fastball velocity is down 2 miles an hour since he got into the league. And 2 miles an hour might not sound like much, and I think this is why they've tried reducing his changeup speed to give more separation. But when you're throwing a changeup that, you know, it sometimes was coming in at 88 miles an hour, the way he used to throw it, and your fastball's at 92, is it really a changeup when there's only 4 miles of separation? When he came into the league, there was 8 miles an hour of separation. So that's why he started to throw his changeup much slower, and it's just not working. He's got the worst batting average against he's ever had in his career on his changeup this year. Hitters are hitting 260 off his changeup. Now, 260 might not sound terrible, and it's not terrible. But the big league average is 240. And if your best pitch, the pitch that you're known for, is not only not putting guys out, but allowing a batting average that's better than average, how are you going to be successful? Unless you have another pitch that's dominating, and he doesn't. You know, the slider's been a decent second pitch, or not second, really a fourth or fifth pitch for him since he invented it a few years ago. I mean, he always had one, but it wasn't really a slider. It was kind of more of a cutter. And then Chris Sale helped him develop an actual slider when Sale came to Boston. And so he has a slider that actually does work a little bit. That gives him another look because the cutter's been ineffective all year. The fastball's been ineffective. He's throwing it slower than he ever has, 92 miles an hour on average. And the changeup, which he tried taking speed off of, it's now 85 miles an hour. So he's got that 7-8 miles an hour separation again. It's just everything is slower. And everybody else in the big leagues is throwing harder. And so Erod, to me, doesn't look like an ace. He doesn't look like a top-of-the-rotation pitcher. He looks like a middle-of-the-rotation guy who's gotten worse. And he's 28 years old. He's got his fastball velocities in the lower 20th percentile of the league. His fastball spin rate's in the lower 30th percentile. He gives up not a lot of hard-hit balls, but when he gives up hard-hit balls, man, are they pummeled. One of the highest max exit velocities of anybody in baseball. So they crush him when they connect. And this isn't new. You know, he's always kind of been a guy who when he misses, teams hit him pretty hard. But when he's rolling, they don't hit him hard often. But he's 28 now. And the question that the Red Sox have to ask, first of all, is how does this guy fit into the postseason roster? If we make the postseason, where does he fit in? What does he do? Because Chris Sale and Nathan Eovaldi are unquestionably the one and two starters here. One of them's going to have to pitch the wild card game. Maybe both. I would be shocked if both of them didn't pitch the wild card game because it's all hands on deck. It's one game for your season. You're just using your best pitchers. Does Erod pitch the wild card game? Doubtful. I went through the roster trying to rank Erod. Where is he rank on the pitcher? Like who? At what point would you have him come in the game over somebody else? And obviously you got to look at the matchups. You got to look at who hits changeups well, you know, who hits lefties well, all that stuff. But on the whole, where does Erod rank on this team? I'd put him about 10th. I put about 9 pitchers I'd feel more comfortable using right now than Eduardo Rodriguez in a playoff game. So I don't think he's a guy that gets used in the wild card game. And if he does, it's like for, you know, an out against a lefty at some point. Or in the 13th inning if the game's still going. Remember postseason rules, there's no more man on second base. It's back to normal. So maybe there's a long game and you bring him in late, but I don't think he's a guy that you want pitching in the wild card game. And at some point you're going to need him in a 5-game series if you make it that far. What's his role? You know, Eovaldi or Sale pitches the wild card game. The other one pitches game one of the division series if you make it. Who pitches game two? Tanner Houck? Or does Tanner Houck come out of the bullpen if they need him? You know, maybe they need him out of the bullpen. Garrett Whitlock's injured. Is he going to be back in time? Do you need Tanner Houck, or can he start that game two? There's no question Eduardo's probably going to get pit. He's going to get a start, I think, because they just don't have anyone else that you trust as much unless you want to start Pivetta and have Erod ready to piggyback. That's one option too, but it seems like Rodriguez is probably going to get a start at some point. Maybe he's the game two starter, maybe he's a game three starter, but they're going to have a short leash on him. I mean, they just don't have the depth in a. Even if they win a 5-game series, it's hard to imagine the Red Sox having pitching depth to compete in a 7-game series, which is why I don't think anyone's going to pick them to really advance in the postseason, even if they make it, because they just don't have the pitching depth. Every day is going to be a grind. And if there's any manager who could pull it off, it's Alex Cora. We've seen what he does in the postseason. He utilizes his pitchers really well. But everybody does that now. And Eduardo Rodriguez just hasn't looked like a guy that you have a lot of faith in, that you can have a lot of faith in. Every game, you don't know what you're going to get from him. And maybe he brings it. You know, he's had five really good games this year. Maybe they get lucky and he's got one and he's on it and they could get a good game out of him. I don't think he's a guy you end up just using it as a reliever for high leverage spots. You know, maybe Alex Cora does that in a wild card game. I think he is a starter just because you usually can tell if he's got it or not that night. And I know they talk a lot about, hey, give us five innings. Just make sure you get five or six innings. But maybe in a playoff game, it's just give us everything you got. Air it out in four innings. You know, we need more velocity. We need your power. We need you to just give us what you got in four innings, and then we'll figure it out. So that's my guess, is they'll use him as a game two or game three starter. Give us four innings. See what you got. If you don't got it, we'll go to somebody else. But you don't feel particularly good about Erod in the playoffs at this point. What does this mean for him going forward? What does this mean for his free agency? Should the Red Sox sign him? We're going to talk about that in the third and final segment. So stick around. Coming right up. We are brought to you by Built Bar. Built Bar is my favorite protein bar to get. If you're in the grocery store, you need a quick snack, you got to check out the Built Bars. If you haven't had them yet, I know there's a lot of good protein bars out there right now. There's a lot of competition for energy bars, for quick snacks when you're on the go. Give Built Bar a try if you haven't. There's only 4 or 5 grams of sugar. You get 17, 18 grams of protein, only 130 to 180 calories, and it tastes good. It tastes like, I always say it tastes kind of like a Tootsie Roll mixed with a protein bar. But you don't get like the grainy protein feeling that you get in a lot of protein bars. It's just kind of, it's just like a nice chewy snack that gives you a little bit of energy and doesn't kill you with sugar like all of them do. There's so many good flavors. Lately I've been on a coconut binge, but you got your cookies and cream, your German chocolate, your mint brownie, your raspberry. Check out all the flavors. There's a mixed box where you can get two of each. And use the promo code LOCKED15. And get 15% off your order if you order online. It's the official protein bar of the U.S. track and field team. If you go to built.com, use the promo code LOCKED15, you'll get 15% off your order for Built Bars. We are brought to you by DirecTV Stream. Brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, which means you could watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. And the best part is there's no annual contract. It's not like the old days with the cable companies and DirecTV. You had to sign a contract. You have to lock yourself in. It's not like that anymore. There's no contract. So stop waiting and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. It brings everything in one. No more juggling remotes, asking your neighbor for his login device, texting them for a verification code so you can log in. Just get it all in one. It's DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at directtv.com. That's directtv.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package. Eduardo Rodriguez is entering a free agent year, and it could not be a worse time for him to be entering a free agent year. He's got the worst ERA of his career, 4.97. He's coming off a season in which he had myocarditis and didn't pitch. He seems to be getting worse, not better, as the year has gone on. But there's a lot of stats here. Someone's going to pay him. There's a lot of stats that indicate he's still pretty good. His walk rate has never been lower. His strikeout rate has never been higher. His strikeout to walk rate has never been better. And the people are going to look at the advanced analytics with the ERA plus. His ERA plus is not good. It's below average. His ERA, his FIP has been good, 3.44 if you're into the FIP. But overall, pretty average to below average year for Eduardo Rodriguez. The question is, will somebody pay him and how much? And I think somebody will. Because you got a lefty who, you know, 2 years ago was a 19-game winner. The concerns are, will he stay healthy? What's the deal with the myocarditis, the long-term side effects? You never know. That's a constant thing that people are monitoring now. His heart rate's constantly getting monitored. They're checking him always because that could come back. He could have long-term effects from that too. So that's something you have to ask. And mainly, what about the velocity? What's happened here? Why has his velocity slowed down so much? I'm sure the year off had something to do with it, but it's been a consistent decline over his career. And I think a lot of it has to do with just trying to stay healthy, which he has. Other than the myocarditis, he's going to make 30 starts 2 years in a row, which not a lot of guys do anymore. So he's staying healthy, but he's not as effective. How much money do you pay this guy? And do the Red Sox go after him? Now, I think he's probably going to get more money somewhere else. It's just a matter of whether or not he wants to stay in Boston. To me, he looks like the kind of guy who does. He loves playing for Alex Cora. He loves Xander Bogaerts as one of his best friends. He's tight with a lot of these guys. He's comfortable here. He's somebody I could absolutely see taking a hometown discount to stay in Boston. And if you look at what the Red Sox have on the books, they've got Eovaldi for 2022. It's his last season before he's a free agent. Obviously, have Chris Sale here for another 3-plus years, so he's not going anywhere. Garrett Richards is probably going to be a free agent. So what's your starting rotation look like next year? You've got Chris Sale, Nathan Eovaldi, Tanner Houck. And then what? You know, your two young starters, Brian Mata and Thad Ward, are coming off Tommy John. So you don't know what you're going to get from those guys. Jay Groom has had a nice season, but maybe still a year away if he ends up being a guy that you can count on. There isn't a ton of starting pitching talent that's near ready for the Red Sox, so they're going to have to get starting pitching somewhere. The question is, does Ty and Bloom turn into, you know, the Tampa Bay Rays model of, hey, we don't need to pay for traditional starters. We'll just have a bunch of guys who go two or three innings. We'll mix and match. We don't need to have starters. Or do they want to keep Eduardo Rodriguez? Now, he's making $8 million this year. This is his last year of arbitration eligibility. If he had pitched last year, he'd probably be making more. Arbitration is, it kind of increases your salary every year. Unless you don't pitch, and then you usually get the same salary you had last year. So that's what happened to Erod. He made the same salary this year as last year. Otherwise, he would have had a nice raise this year. I think, to me, you max out at $12 million a year. That's what I'm looking at for Erod. I probably don't go more than $12 million a year. Look at Eovaldi. He's making $17 million a year. Injury-prone, but extremely high upside. Who's got more upside, Eduardo Rodriguez or Nathan Eovaldi? I mean, we're seeing the best of Eovaldi right now, and it's better than Rodriguez has ever been, in my opinion. We've seen the best of Eovaldi in the postseason, and it's better than Rodriguez has ever been in the postseason. So is Rodriguez a guy you're spending $17 million a year on? I don't think so. He's younger. He's only 28. You appreciate that. But there's plenty of reasons to be concerned about this. And actually, Eovaldi was 28 when he signed that deal. So same deal, same age. But Eovaldi had a much worse injury history and also a much better peak than Rodriguez has had. So I don't think Erod gets an Eovaldi contract. I think you're looking at maybe like $50 million bucks over 4 years, maybe $60 million bucks over 4 years, maybe. Or maybe teams are looking at short-term options for him to see how his body comes back, see how his velocity comes back if it does. You know, like a two-year, $32 million, something like that. If you're the Red Sox, here's what I'm doing. Incentive-laden deal. All incentives. You know, start is his guarantee is pretty low. Give him a lot of incentives. If you pitch this many innings, you know, if you get Cy Young votes, because you need to, first of all, I think he's the kind of guy who needs to be motivated, although it's not looking that way this year, coming into a free agency year. But second of all, there's a pretty good chance he doesn't get better and just gets worse. And if you're on the hook paying him high guaranteed rates, you know, he could end up being kind of an eyesore on your payroll. So to me, Erod looks like somebody that maybe incentives, maybe $12 million bucks a year, give him 4 years. I do that. I would do that. But I'm not giving him a Nathan Eovaldi contract. I don't think he's worth it. And if he had a great year this year, obviously different story, but it's hard to judge coming off the myocarditis. It's just there are enough concerns here with the ever-decreasing velocity, the fact that he's 28 and really hasn't hit his peak, and if he has hit his peak, you know, it was solid but not great. I know he finished sixth in Cy Young voting, and so that should be considered great. I don't think he was great in 19. I thought he was very good. He was like a very good, like, if that's your number three starter, that's a really good team. If that's a number two starter, you know, depends who your number one is and who your number three is and how good your offense is and all that. He's not a number one, obviously. And if your best case scenario is maybe a number two, how much are you paying that guy? $12 million bucks a year, to me, seems right for him. I don't know if he'll take that. I don't know if he'll get that. Depends how he does in the final week. Depends how he does in the postseason if the Red Sox make the postseason. Could only have two more starts in a Red Sox uniform. So this is it for Eduardo Rodriguez. This is his last chance to make an impression. I think there's some guys on this team that like to see him stick around. And it's going to be interesting to watch over the final 2 weeks and possibly the postseason if the Red Sox make it. What happens to this guy? Had so much potential, hasn't reached it, and now the Red Sox are going to have to figure out, how do we use this guy in the final 2 weeks in the postseason, and what do we pay him if we want to pay him? Something to keep an eye on in the final stretch here as the Red Sox try to get into the playoffs. It's going to be tight. We appreciate you joining us on Locked On Red Sox, our everyday podcast hosted by Jason Mastrodonato, me from the Boston Herald, as well as Lauren Campbell from Nesson. You can follow me on Twitter at J Mastro Donato. You can read my stuff in the Boston Herald. You can follow the Locked On Red Sox account, LO_Red Sox on Twitter. Leave us a review. Subscribe. Tell us what you think. Means a lot. Helps us out. We appreciate it. And that'll wrap up our show today. Have a great day. Come back on Thursday for another episode of the Locked On Red Sox podcast. We're brought to you by Locked On Bets. Betting on the Red Sox doesn't have to be a guessing game if you listen to the Locked On Bets podcast, hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Every day they give you their picks. They give you some specials and Lee Sterling's lock of the day. So you can follow the Locked On Bets podcast, brought to you by betonline.ag, wherever you get podcasts.